the U.S. accepted no refugees in the month of October. On November 1st, the White House announced that President Trump had set a cap of 18,000 refugees for the next fiscal year. Over the past 20 years, U.S. presidents have set refugee caps in the range of 70 to 90,000 per year. This year, Texas was the top refugee receiving state, with 1,389 individuals resettled here. In Abilene, the International Rescue Committee helps families get settled, finding jobs and making connections. Susanna Lubanga is the organization's resettlement director in Abilene. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me today.
I think our listeners understand that there's a difference between immigration and asylum seekers and refugee resettlement, but I think with so much news covering all of these issues, it's good to kind of clarify. So let's start by having you talk about the process that your clients go through to arrive in Abilene.
Okay, absolutely. Immigrants is really a very general term for anybody that comes outside the country into the U.S. And every year there are between 1.5 to 2 million immigrants that come to the U.S. to live here. That includes international students such as we have here at ACU. It includes spouses, includes family reunification, farm workers. Refugees and immigrants are among that population. What we're hearing a lot about in the media at the moment are the asylum seekers, which is what we're seeing at our southern borders. So asylum seekers are individuals that are fleeing persecution, violence, and actually come to a country and then claim asylum once they enter the country. Our refugees are a little bit different in that fact that they're actually asylum seekers in different countries. So they've fled their country due to war and persecution. So we do not accept economic refugees. They're all refugees due to political persecution and war. And once they're in a second country, they actually apply for refugee status. So for our focus in America, a refugee is someone that's been given the status of refugees overseas, applies overseas to come to the U.S., and goes through a very vigorous screening process of 24 to 36 months. In fact, many organizations such as IRC, we work on durable solutions, and refugees actually have three durable solutions. The first one's repatriation when they go back to their home country, and we work in those efforts. Integration into countries of asylum, and then if there's no other option available, third country resettlement becomes an option. As you mentioned, the ceiling this year is 18,000. There are currently over 20 million refugees in the world. So it just shows it's a very, very small percentage of refugees overall that come to our country.
Since President Trump took office, he has been reducing asylum and legal immigration, and refugee resettlement ceilings are now at historic lows for the U.S., mm-hmm. dating back to the Refugee Act of 1980, when the refugee ceiling was more than 231,000. How does this reduction impact the work that you're doing?
I think there are many different ways, some local impact, but also to the families. And The Refugee Act, as you mentioned, went into effect in 1980, but it was actually as a result of efforts that started in 1975 when boat refugees arrived in the U.S., and there really was no solution for refugees. And our bipartisan government actually decided there had to be a way to integrate refugees, help them become citizens, and also help them give back to their host communities. And our model has been so effective that other countries, including European countries, are actually looking to the U.S. because we've been so successful over the last 44 years in actually achieving integration and achieving refugees contributing by paying taxes and building houses and starting businesses. So this is definitely a drastic cut. I think it really goes against anything that we stand for in our country, which is welcoming those who are fleeing persecution and really one of our founding blocks of our country, so to speak, if you look at the first pilgrims that came and what they were fleeing and what our founding fathers were fleeing. The second impact is definitely to families directly. We are working currently with a single mother that has two children. She started the refugee process years ago, and during the time from starting the application for refugee resettlement process, got married in the camps. So her husband wasn't part of the initial application. So she arrived here with two small children, one that has a medical condition, and we do not know when her husband will be able to join her. Currently, there are almost 200,000 people approved to come. We're taking 18,000 this year. So the reality is we're having to tell her, you need to make decisions for you and your children, not with regard to when your husband will come, because it could in reality be 3, 4, 5 years before he even joins you. Then there's a local impact. For us in Abilene, we don't have enough entry-level workers, and we hear that over and over again from our partners, including the Chamber of Commerce, that it's very difficult to bring new businesses to town or actually for existing businesses to expand without the entry-level workforce. And that's where we have historically, for the past 15 years, met the need of the community. And we're currently not able to provide that workforce we have in the past to our employer community. In fact, we've had to ask our employment department not to place refugees during the first 4 to 6 weeks so we can provide cultural orientations and initial resettlement services, but employers so desperate to hire them that they would literally hire them within a week of arrival since they are legal to work. They're required to become self-sufficient within 90 to 120 days, but that's definitely affecting our community. We rent a lot of housing. We buy and purchase locally. So those are housing units that are not being filled in our community, and businesses are losing profit because we're no longer buying from them. So I think there's a big effect. And then, of course, the morale. It's very hard for somebody to integrate and become self-sufficient and really become part of our community if in the back of their mind they're not sure what's going to happen to their family back home. And the reality is refugee camps are a place of trauma for a lot of our clients. They're fleeing trauma. They're fleeing violence. Rape is very high among refugee women. It's about 1 in 3 women worldwide that's going to be a victim of violence. Among refugees, it's between 60 and 70% of all women. And refugee camps are one of the places where they're at higher risk because they have to leave the camp to gather firewood or clean water, and they're oftentimes raped in that context. So just by leaving them in these protracted situations, we're exposing them to additional risk to their life and their health.
I'm wondering if you've noticed a direct impact on, like, the slowing down of refugees showing up here in Abilene, and whether that affects your funding and your ability to continue your work here looking ahead to next year.
Yes, I mean, it definitely affects some of our basic funding for the initial resettlement process. And at the moment, we're not sure what our goal will be for this coming year. The new funding opportunity just came out. It's not due till January. So our next fiscal year, instead of October 1st, will actually start June 1st, and we will not know the exact number that we're targeting for this year, which, for example, doesn't allow us to really look at staffing and staff in the way we need. We could have 50 refugees over the next 5 months. We could have 20. It doesn't really allow us to plan for this ahead. At the IRC in Abilene, we've really diversified our funding quite a bit, and we're diversifying our programs. So we're not at risk at closing, but definitely slows our operation. But we offer financial literacy, we offer digital literacy, we have access to credit building loans, we have vocational training and additional employment services. We offer ESL. We're starting an ESL in the workplace program with 4 partner organizations. We have immigration services, volunteer services. We have a student academic readiness program, and we're just now implementing a new victims of trafficking capacity building grant for the community. So there are a lot of other projects that keep us going and keep us open and actually help our refugees resettle and integrate into the community. But our concern, of course, is for those that are not arriving that need that protection of the U.S., including Iraqi and Afghan SIVs that have put their life on the line for our military and supporting our military as interpreters, as drivers, as translators. And they're now actually not being able to resettle like they were promised when they made the commitment to our forces.
Can I ask you how hearing the news of the reductions makes you feel as a person who works with refugees?
I mean, great sadness. I think it's not just the people that are not coming, but I think it says a lot about our country. This has been historically, we have been that beacon of hope for refugees, and we're losing that status. It's also a way to really keep our country safer, to be totally honest, because it gives that hope for people to come. It stops refugees from wanting to find other ways to get out of those countries. And it stops groups that don't have our best interests in mind from recruiting people that are frustrated or don't have any other options and are hopeless. So I think we're giving up that role of leadership, which as an American makes me very sad because we're proud of our country. We're proud of what we achieve and the democracy we have and the freedoms that we have. And it should be something that we share and that we want to spread across the globe, and I think we're losing that.
So the International Rescue Committee has been working to help refugees build community here for almost 16 years. As you mentioned, you have a number of ways of providing services and helping them establish a life here and learn the language and get connected and become self-sufficient. I think there's some confusion about the services available to refugees. Can you just briefly describe what is expected of them? You kind of touched on
it.
Can you expand
absolutely.
Just a little bit?
So the way the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program is set up, refugees have 120 days to become self-sufficient. And those are what we call our core services. So we help them find an apartment when they first arrive, make sure they have cleaning supplies and hygiene supplies. They do sign their own lease. So typically within the first week of arrival, they'll sign a 12-month lease. And we provide that financial assistance for the first 120 days. But during that time, we help with culture orientation, school enrollment, ESL classes, understanding how to open a bank account, understanding how to ride CityLink bus transportation, and we help them find their initial job. So we do a lot of job readiness training. We help with new hire paperwork, including W-4s and I-9s, and ensuring that that connection with employers are made. But beyond that, we provide some assistance as well up to 5 years to refugees, not financial, but we can provide case management. Oftentimes, if someone arrives at 17, at 19, they find themselves pregnant. That, for us, is a fairly easy process to go through. But if you don't know what an epidural is or what inducement is or what prenatal care is, that can be overwhelming. So we can help them navigate those things. We can help them find job upgrades. As I mentioned, we do vocational training, so we can provide those services up to 5 years. And Abilene doesn't have currently an immigration attorney. So one of the services we provide are actually immigration services. And it's not just refugees, it's a community at large where we help with green card applications, citizenship applications, and then the other services I mentioned, such as support services to help our students actually integrate into our middle and high schools as well.
So part of the process for refugees is to kind of target a community where they may have friends or relatives, or where there's an established community that shares their language or their culture. Can you describe for us the community of refugees that are making Abilene home?
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned, when we make a placement, we really look at many different factors, including what support is already established for refugees and where they're going to be most likely to integrate and to be successful. We have currently our biggest population are the Congolese, and that really mirrors what's happening across the country and across the state of Texas as well. About 85% of our refugees last year were from the Congo DR, and most of the others were from Burundi, Rwanda, Ivory Coast, so mainly from Africa. And these communities have done extremely well. We have over 6 African-led churches that meet all around the town and actually provide support to one another. When a new refugee family comes, we had one that arrived, a family of 12 a few weeks ago, and the house wasn't ready on time as we were anticipating, and the community took care of them. They invited them to stay in their home. They cooked dinner for them. They helped them with that integration process. We've also resettled a larger number of Bhutanese, but that program ended back in 2013. But that's one of the other big groups that we've resettled here in Abilene. But as you mentioned, they're very successful here. We have 12 business owners among our refugees and several more that are actually in the works of opening a business and have a business plan put together. We have around 170 homeowners. I always like to tell people that we have several refugees that have multiple homes, and we actually rent from former refugees. The Bhutanese community actually has established a nonprofit, the Bhutanese Association of Abilene. And one of the things that they did 2 weeks ago is they felt that there was a need for mental health training for their community. And they self-organized and financed to have 2 experts from different places in the U.S. come to Abilene and hold a full-day workshop with almost 40 Bhutanese refugees just to be able to learn what are the symptoms of mental health, how do we help our communities, how we strengthen that. And I think those are really great examples of how refugees are actually integrating, building our community, and making our community stronger as a whole.
Well, IRC is also working on getting these refugees supported for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got a food and donation drive going on. Tell me a little bit about that drive, that program.
Yes, absolutely. So as I said, we want to help them integrate. And part of that is understanding our American cultures, our American traditions. We just finished Halloween. I always tell folks, if you come in and you don't know about Halloween and there's somebody in a ghoulish mask knocking at your door at 9 o'clock asking for candy, it can be overwhelming. In the same way, we want to show them those holidays. I think Thanksgiving is one of my favorite because if you hear the story of refugees and ask them, what are you thankful for? It is absolutely amazing. They talk about being thankful for this country, for the welcome here, for being safe. And talking about that, explaining what Thanksgiving is an important part of cultural integration. So what we do is we ask community members to donate Thanksgiving food or if they prefer money, if they don't have time to shop. And we provide a Thanksgiving basket for every family that arrived in the past 12 months. So they all get one their first year in the U.S. And we actually put together a brochure that's translated into various languages that talks about the history of Thanksgiving, tells them how to cook a turkey, gives them some basic vocabulary on Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite things to do. We go the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, our staff will actually go out, and I bring my kids for that. And we'll go to the different houses and bring it to them, and the smiles and to see how grateful they are, that for me really, that's Thanksgiving. That's really what this holiday is about. So we share in that with our refugees as well.
Well, Susanna Lubanga, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about your work.
And thank you for having me, Heather.
Susanna Lubanga is the IRC's resettlement director here in Abilene. IRC is collecting donations to help their families enjoy the holidays. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.